The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today is kind of a Stoic Jew interlude and kind of a Q&A, okay? Let's start off with an update on the sacred pause mezuzah experiment, which I introduced on this Monday. So the idea behind it was to basically take Tara Brach's technique of the sacred pause, of stopping, pausing, and letting yourself feel the feelings and think the thoughts. So to take that technique and then apply it to the zechira, the remembrance device of mezuzah, which we understood in light of the Rambam, namely that when you pass by a mezuzah, then you're supposed to stop and think about God's oneness and love of God, and realize that nothing lasts forever except for knowledge of God, and everything else is transitory. And then when you do that, that you'll return to your mind and walk in upright ways. So the idea was that this is really supposed to happen at every time you pass by a mezuzah. And, I pass by a lot of mezuzahs every day. And so that's a tall order. So I said, what I'll do is I'll do this when I leave my house in the morning and pass by my own mezuzah at my front door. And then when I enter into yeshiva for the first time in the day, and then when I leave yeshiva, and then when I enter into my house at the end of the day. So four times. So I am pleased to report that this experiment has the results have been that I have done this zero times. I proposed the experiment. Well, I recorded Monday's episode last Friday, and I did do it on Friday. And then somehow over Shabbos and over the week, it has never occurred to me, which, I mean, look, it's understandable because, how many of us pass by mezuzahs without thinking about it? And I'm not calling this experiment a failure. I mean, the experiment is still in session. I mentioned that this is going to be a 2-week experiment because I'm still in New York for another week. We'll see if I can manage to do it, or how many times I can manage to actually like reflect in this manner. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is that someone asked me a question based on my episode. So in the episode, I mentioned that I would be conducting the experiment for 2 weeks because on Friday, God willing, meaning next Friday, I will be returning to Seattle. And then on the following Sunday, I'll be going to Hawaii until the end of June. And in Hawaii, then I will not encounter a single mezuzah, most likely. So I mentioned, okay, I can't really do this experiment then. So someone, one of my listeners sent me a question, which was, why can't you do this in Hawaii by just stopping and by doing a sacred pause at the doorway? Okay. In other words, even though there's no mezuzah there, what's to stop you from just, pausing and then thinking about the ideas of mezuzah and then moving on? Okay. So I said that that's a very good question, and I think the question gets to the heart of what mitzvos are, okay? What I'm going to do, because I think I wrote a response very hastily, because this was on Monday right before I gave my Monday night Mishle Shir. So let me just read the response that I said, and then I'll comment on it. So I said, that's a very interesting question, one which raises a number of other questions. For example, we do say Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, meaning that the study of Torah is equal to all the mitzvos, which corresponds to all the mitzvos, which my understanding of that basically is that learning and the ideas of the mitzvos really are the essence or are the paramount of the entire mitzvah system. Okay, so I went on. Instead of stopping at the door to think about the contents of mezuzah, why not right now at my desk? Instead of limiting it to mezuzah, why not Sefer Devarim as a whole or all five books of the Torah? The Rav famously said that he doesn't need the Beis HaMikdash because he is familiar and has an in-depth knowledge of Kudshim, which is the order of the Mishnah and the Talmud that deals with the Beis HaMikdash. The point I'm trying to make is that one of the unique features of the Torah regimen is its specificity and particularity. Rabbi Chait once defined a mitzvah as an idea of human perfection concretized in an action. So, can a person think of the ideas of matzah without eating matzah? Yes. But would those ideas continue to be preserved without the system? No. And what is the nature of our relationship to that system via those particulars? What happens to the relationship when we uncouple the two? I realize that this doesn't directly answer your question. The direct answer is yes, I could do a sacred pause and think about the ideas of mezuzah even when there is no mezuzah there. And a perfected person would be thinking about these ideas at all times and not need mezuzah as a reminder. But insofar as my goal, actually, I'm not going to read this next part of the answer yet. I'm going to save that for the end. Hold on just a second. So then the person responded saying, come to think of it, my question sounds like it borders on the Korach view, how timely, of not needing a mezuzah when there are Torah scrolls in the room. How would the Rav answer that? Granted, he would say we still need to practice mezuzah to concretize it, but just as the Rav wouldn't need the Beis HaMikdash, maybe he wouldn't need the mezuzah. Couldn't Korach just be referring to the Rav's idea? Right. So in other words, the question is like this. Okay, maybe I shouldn't have read the text. It's a little confusing because I didn't intend for those texts to be translated into Shir, but here we are. My response was that yes, I could do a sacred pause and think of the ideas of mezuzah, but then why stop there? Why not argue that I could just sit here and quote unquote achieve the purpose of mezuzah just by thinking, you know? And why limit it to mezuzah? You know, mezuzah has the first two parshios of the Shema. Why not think about more? You know, wouldn't that be better? And then eventually, if you take this, you know, if you take this line of reasoning to its conclusion, you get to the idea of why do we need mitzvahs at all? Now, I know that's not what the person was asking, but my question is, where do we draw the line, or what do we make of that line once we draw it? What I initially responded was basically that the efficacy of Torah is in the fact that you're taking ideas and you're concretizing them in behaviors and assigning those behaviors to specific actions and points in life to reinforce them and to remind you of them and to enact them, you know, depending on what the kind of mitzvah is. And, you know, mitzvah is a reminder. It's not really an enactment. And the more you deviate from that, then the more, first of all, I guess it's going to have two effects. One is you're going to dilute the specific purpose that the mezuzah serves. In other words, you know, mezuzah is taking parshios of the Torah and attaching them to the door. So now let's say you go to a door in Hawaii and there's no mezuzah there. So you're just associating to Torah as a text, you know, in your mind. That's different than literally putting the Torah on your door. And there are ideas and there are effects of the fact that we put the Torah on our doorpost. I mean, maybe this is more evident with tefillin, you know, and certainly in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, or not the time of the Beis HaMikdash, in the time when we fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin correctly, is you're literally taking these parshios and you're wearing them all day long. You're binding them on your arm and on your forehead. And as men who don't wear tefillin all day, I think we can probably testify that we're losing out on that experience. Does that mean that we lack a relationship to the ideas in those parshios? Not necessarily on an intellectual level, but the fact that we're not literally coming and going about our business with these parshios tied to our arms and our forehead, or the top of our head, and thinking about them at all times, that is a loss. So in other words, if you the more you remove the effect of the mitzvah from the design of the mitzvah, from the structure of the mitzvah, the more you are diluting the intended delivery method, the medium that Hashem had in mind when he commanded the mitzvah in this way. That's one effect. The second effect is that is for the sake of the system, and that's why I brought in the matzah thing. And I mentioned this in a shir last night, that, like, you know, how many, you know, of the Jews who eat matzah on Pesach, you know, how many Jews are actually really thinking about, like, in depth about the ideas of matzah and gaining the perfection from the activity of matzah, and how many of them are just forcing themselves to eat matzah because that's what you're supposed to do halachically, you know? I think the answer is probably a small percentage. I mean, matzah probably has a higher percentage because we talk about the reasoning behind matzah at the Seder. But, like, how many other mitzvahs are there where Jews just do this mindlessly? And I'm not saying this as to critique the Jews. I mean, this is Yeshayahu Anavi's tochacha of the Jews at the time of the you know, early on, before the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, is he said that you know, people are keeping mitzvos in the manner of mitzvos anashim milumada, of rote mitzvah performance, you know, just not thinking about the ideas and the implications and being affected by the mitzvos. So this has been a common problem for a very long time. This is not my like social critique on Judaism, and I'm including myself in this, as you can see from my mezuzah example. So where was I going with this? So would you argue then that the Jews who keep mitzvos mindlessly are they're better off just not doing them, or that it's a bad thing? No, why not? Because it is precisely because we keep the mitzvos that it perpetuates these ideas from generation to generation. And I still love the phrasing of it by Rav Pesach, where he said that since mitzvos are ideas of human perfection concretized in actions, he said the mitzvah system can survive droughts of philosophy in the Jewish people, meaning that as long as the Jews are keeping the mitzvos, even if there are no Jews who are thinking into the mitzvos and unearthing those ideas of perfection and applying them to themselves and to you know their community, those ideas are there. They're embedded in the mitzvos, waiting to emerge. And so the perpetuation of that is of great benefit to the Jewish people and to humanity. And if those mindless matzah eaters didn't do that, if they just stopped, so then the mitzvos would be lost. You know, then there would be no way to access them. The mashal I gave in the shir last night is, if you, I don't know if you've seen this, but if you go on YouTube and you type in, I think it's Death Valley Bloom. So there's this phenomenon where in Death Valley, which is one of the places that's most inhospitable to life because it's so hot and dry, you know, nothing grows there. But then every once in a while, there's slight, you know, I don't know if it's rain or if it's runoff from other areas, that water gets to Death Valley. And then for a brief time, the desert blooms with these beautiful, colorful flowers, and then it all dies. So what does that show is that there are these seeds that are, you know, deep within the earth, or not deep within the earth, but are within the earth and holding on to this life, just waiting to emerge. And these things are there for years, you know, and then all it takes is some water and then they emerge and bloom. And that's kind of how the mitzvos are designed, is that you have these ideas of human perfection that are there waiting to be actualized. And they're handed off from generation to generation by people who do not necessarily think into them. And then that's what allows them to persist. So the danger in saying, let's do a sacred pause, maybe danger is too strong of a word, but I'll say it anyway. The danger of saying, well, why can't you do a sacred pause at a door without a mezuzah? It's not the same as Korach, because Korach was actually trying to modify the system, you know, and suggesting that we do away with the mitzvah of mezuzah. But it does partake of that same ideology, in the sense that why can't we uncouple the philosophy of the mitzvah and its perfection from the structure of the mitzvah? And I think that's a dangerous route. I think it leads to a distorted view of mitzvos, as if we can somehow be perfected by mitzvos without doing the mitzvos. You know, again, I'm not suggesting that the questioner intended this. I mean, he's the one who brought up the Korach analogy himself. So what do we learn from here? We learn from here that we should keep mitzvos. No, we learned, what I learned from here, I don't know what you're learning from here. What I learned from here is in my endeavor to take techniques from other thinkers like Tera Brach, my goal is to apply them to Torah in a manner that is faithful to Torah and that brings out the benefits from Torah, not one which replaces or distorts them. And I realize it's, you know, it's a fine line to walk, but that's why I wanted to, that's why I don't want to let myself get carried away in applying these techniques in a manner that's divorced from Torah. And that's why this is the Stoic Jew podcast, not the Stoic podcast. You know, my whole endeavor here is to try to understand the relationship between Stoicism and Judaism, and to see which Stoic ideas are true and how they're reflected in Judaism and how they can help us to get more out of Judaism. Yeah, so we'll see how the mezuzah experiment goes. That's it for today's episode. If you've gained from what you've learned here today and would like to support my production of even more Torah content, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Link is in the description. As I mentioned yesterday, I just got billed for my my five podcasts for this this month, and I don't remember the exact number. I think it was $183. And so just to bear in mind like what the costs are of keeping these podcasts going. They're not insignificant, and I appreciate every dollar that you contribute, and it will go a long way. Thank you to my listeners for listening, and thank you to my patrons for supporting my efforts to make tour ideas available and accessible to everyone.